Welcome to The Secret Life of Celebrity Pets with me, Darren Kennedy. Each week, we'll go behind the closed doors of some famous faces and into the pampered world of celebrity pets. This week, my guest is the wonderful podcaster and writer, Elizabeth Day. Elizabeth has written four novels, a Sunday Times best-selling memoir, How to Fail, as well as a handbook called Failosophy. Through her writing and podcast, How to Fail, Elizabeth wants to change the way we see failure. One thing she hasn't failed at, though, is being a loving pet mom to her feline friend, Huxley. In this episode, we talked about becoming a pet parent, falling in love with Huxley, and learning as she goes. This is The Secret Life of Celebrity Pets. So I have to say, obviously we've only met once, which was at the GQ Men of the Year Awards, and I met you having just read your book on holidays, and I was like, oh my God, it's Elizabeth Day. And you 100% didn't disappoint. I'm like, I like her. Then I realized very quickly that we have a couple of mutual friends in common, and then I read that you've only gone and got yourself a pet. I'm like, we're friends for life.
It's meant to be, I know. Doesn't that feel like several centuries ago?
I mean, it's crazy. One thing I was surprised about though, Elizabeth, I'm not going to lie to you. I never suspected that you'd have a soft spot for gingers.
Well, I think that ginger men can be very handsome. I think you've got, first of all, Huxley, obviously. And then you've got your Damien Lewis's, your Prince Harry. So I think like a ginger done right is very special.
A ginger with a tan is amazing.
Yes, totally.
Okay, well, obviously we need to talk about the most important ginger in your life right now, which is the handsome Huxley. Tell me all about him, and how did he enter your life?
He's actually just left through the cat flap. It's super annoying. It's like a classic cat. So I grew up with cats all my life, and I love cats. I love all animals, but cats have a particular place in my heart. And I moved in with my partner last October, and he also loves cats. And one of the things that was always non-negotiable was that we would get a cat when we lived together. Because prior to that, I was in a sort of small rented flat with no outside space, and I never felt comfortable getting a cat who couldn't sort of frolic around outside. So we looked around, and we actually went to Battersea Cats and Dogs Home first of all. But it was quite funny because I think because they're such an amazing institution and so many people know about them, there was like a backlist, like a backlog. There was so many people who wanted cats and very few cats to go around. It was almost like joining a waiting list for a Hermes handbag or something. So we then looked on a website called Pets for Home, and I found this woman who basically needed to rehome her cat because her living circumstances had changed. And that was Huxley. And outside London, and we drove down one Saturday, my other half and his 10-year-old daughter, and we introduced ourselves to Huxley, who immediately licked my face. And I thought, well, this is licking and loving at first sight, and we're meant to be together. And that's how it happened.
So you effectively, you rehomed him and adopted him, which is amazing, from someone who, as you say, the circumstances changed. What age was he at that point?
So that was last November, and he turned one in March. So okay. I'm shit at maths, but like, if you work that out.
He's young.
Yeah.
He's still very young.
The really lovely thing is that the very lovely woman who gave him to us, we're still in touch, and I sent her updates and little pictures of Huxley, and she sends me little messages, and it was very funny. A few weeks ago, she sent me a photo of my book, How to Fail, and she was like, is this you? I was like, I sort of feel like it's you, but I'm not sure. And she was like, my friend just bought me this book completely at random, and I saw your picture in it, and I realised it was...
Oh, I love that. Do you know what? You will probably maintain a connection with her for as long as Huxley is around, because I had a similar experience on the other side of it years ago with this beautiful dog, Charlie, who was a cross between a Labrador and a German Shepherd. Like, honestly, the most stunning dog. And her family circumstances changed, and we had to rehome her. And honestly, it was the most heartbreaking thing I've ever done. But we found this beautiful young family not far from us in Dublin, and we maintained a connection with them, so they'd send us updates. And I remember one day I was on the radio, and there was a vet in the studio, and it was probably about 8 months after all this had happened, and I kind of just said, you know, we had to rehome this dog, and I think about her so much, do you think she'd still remember us? And he said, yeah. The next week, the family wrote a letter into the radio show in Charlie's voice. And it was the sweetest thing ever. And then we maintained touch, but because their children were quite young. I remember when I went to visit one time, one of the kids looked nervous that we were going to take her back. So obviously, I know. So I was like, okay, we're not going to see her anymore. But then 10 years passed, got a note from them saying that Charlie wasn't in the great health and that we reckon it's coming to the end of her days. So we went out and visited her and she remembered us.
Stop, that's so beautiful.
Now, I want to talk to you about how your life has changed since you brought Huxley into it. Because I know not too long ago you tweeted, "Cat owners, I'm distraught by our new cat's habit of meowing sadly outside her bedroom door at 4 a.m. I'm also very tired now, as well as feeling so mean. What do you suggest? Has he calmed down?"
Well, if you'd asked me yesterday, I would have said yes. But he had a very noisy night last night. And I think it's interesting. What I've realised is that it's not a distressed meow, it's a meow because he loves human company. Like, he, in many ways, he's a dog wrapped up in a cat's body. And I've noticed that when he meows at 4:30 a.m. outside the door, if I open the door and I give him a cuddle and I reassure him that we're still there, he's completely happy and then he potters off again. and then he'll come up at like 6:37 when the sun's up, and at that stage I then let him in and we have a cuddle on the bed. But I've tried the opposite. I've tried leaving the door open all night, but he's so active and playful that he basically just like humps our feet and licks my face, and it's impossible to get any sleep. So we tried to find a happy medium. So that's one way in which my life has changed. And then obviously there's just like, you just factor in this other living being. So anytime we go on holiday, we'll have to, you know, I'm very specific about what I'll accept in terms of a cat sitter. Like, they have to be really nice and really willing to sort of sit with Huxley and cuddle and all that sort of stuff. But then the biggest way my life has changed is that it's like opened up this beautiful love affair, to be quite honest. There is nothing better than having like a really lovely, cuddly, fluffy pet reminding you to live in the moment. So my life has changed in a really great way as well.
But I guess as someone who's, I'm assuming, has worked from home probably quite some time, how do you maintain productivity and focus on the job at hand when you've these like gorgeous eyes staring at you wanting to play all day? How do you balance that?
Well, it's quite easy with Huxley, because once he's had a bit of attention, then he'll suddenly decide that that's enough and go off. So whenever he interrupts me, like, and generally it's when I'm at my laptop, he's obsessed with my laptop, as I know a lot of cats are, and he'll just sort of walk across the keyboard when I'm trying to write an email. And that's always quite funny, but he never, I never find it a bother. So he's actually a very, very good colleague, because anytime he jumps up onto my chair or walks around the laptop, I'm reminded to be in the present moment and to take a bit of a break. And actually I find it really helpful to be more cat and to be like, to be able to be more engaged with him.
I mean, I think that's so important as well, because I was reading there in Sky News before we came on the chat that like places like Battersea Cats and Dogs Home and all the DSPCA have been inundated with people who now have time on their hands and they want to foster dogs and cats and various things. And they're actually, I think they had 100 animals who went out to new homes last week, which is amazing. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, these times we live in, there's so much fear, there's so much anxiety. And really, fear for most of us is based about the unknown and the future, which means we're not living in the present. How have you found that an animal in your life can really ground you and center you and reduce those feelings of stress and anxiety?
Well, I think there's genuinely been scientific research done that shows that stroking cats lowers your blood pressure. And I would have to say that empirically, I believe that to be true, because if I'm focusing on stroking Huxley's tummy and like tickling his chin and listening to him purr, it's quite a meditative act. Then it means that I'm not really thinking about anything else at the moment. I'm not worrying about whether the world's going to end. I'm not anxious about my parents who are self-isolating. I'm just concentrating on Huxley. And so that's a very, very good reminder. And I think that he has really benefited from this period of self-enforced quarantine, in the sense that, because he loves human company, so he really likes being around us. And I think that he's quite reassured that we're both around all day. And it's just, it's been very calming. Yeah, it's just, it is that constant reminder that life goes on, really. And I don't know about you, but I found myself really noticing seemingly smaller things that actually are the most important things. So, you know, my cat purring, the wind on my face, the way that the branch of a tree casts a certain shadow against the wall of the house opposite. Like, these are things that really bring us back to the joy of being alive and the gratitude that we should have.
For yesterday, Yesterday for me, it was birdsong, actually. I had gone to the park and there was this bird who was literally like banging out his tune. And it was the most amazing thing because I actually stopped and tuned into him. And it was just kind of fascinating to see that A, this bird was continuing on with its life and the world was still spinning. And it kind of made me reflect and actually... I, for quite some time, have toyed around with the idea of, wouldn't it be lovely to take some time out and go traveling and just kind of press pause on work and career and all that. But obviously, I always had jobs booked in, or if I didn't, I was like, well, what if I do it and then it all dries up? So does that, like... fear wrapped around that. So I'm kind of looking at this now and kind of going, do you know what? I never got to do it for whatever reason, but now would be a missed opportunity not to slow down and smell the roses and listen to the birds sing and do all those lovely things that are constantly happening, but we're so busy not noticing.
I mean, definitely. I wish it were otherwise, and I wish that we weren't going through this. But the fact that my diary is totally empty of all social engagements, any kind of face-to-face meetings, there's suddenly this enormous clarity about what matters in life. Mm-hmm. And the way that I've been handling it is really as much as possible to live moment by moment and day by day, which I'm not naturally good at. Again, pets and specifically Huxley are really good reminders of that, because Huxley is really... like, his default is to be happy and content with the world as long as his basic needs are met. So as long as he gets enough food, he loves his food, and enough nice places to rest during the day and a little bit of outside space so that he can, like, climb up trees, then he's a contented animal. And I think that there's a lesson in that for all of us.
And I find that as well with Harry, as well as obviously the company and the stroking and all those things. It's the routine. So regardless of what day of the week it is, he wakes up between 8 and 8.15 a.m. Doesn't matter if I want a lion or not, and I get woken up, and there's all these little things which are really nice. Do you ever, and I sometimes do this, and I wonder if other pet owners do this. Harry is 1.5 kilos, right? He's a miniature Yorkshire. He's really teeny tiny. So sometimes what I'll do, because I'm just fascinated to imagine how he experiences the world. So I lie down on the floor, and then my head kind of lying flat on the floor is about the same height as him, and just look. And, like, everything seems so big, and the angle of things, and like, how he even encounters a rug, for example. And yeah. So, do you ever do that? Do you ever kind of try and put yourself in Huxley?
No, you weirdo. Do you know, I'm so glad you said that you did that, because I do, and I've always thought maybe it's a bit odd. But when I do it is when I've been away for a few days, or when we've just got back from holiday, and Huxley comes running to greet me, and I just want a moment of lying right next to him and making eye contact with him on his terms. And it's really special. And I honestly notice that it really calms him, because mm-hmm. it's like we're just taking a moment to see things from his perspective. I mean, this is what I project onto him. He's probably like, what is this woman doing?
People often say that, you know, owners are like their pets. Do you think you share common traits with Huxley?
He's quite needy and I'm quite needy. He is like one of those straight men who is deep down very sensitive, but doesn't feel that they can let on that they are sensitive to their mates in the pub. So Huxley will constantly be looking for reassurance and cuddles whilst pretending that he's not. And I think that that's quite similar to me.
Speaking of cuddles, look who's come over for a cuddle.
Desperate to get Huxley, but I can't see him there.
Oh, he'll come back in. Actually, speaking of the name, where did the name Huxley come from?
Well, so when we went to collect Huxley, it was me, my other half, and his 10-year-old daughter. And on the way back, it was very... Bless you! Oh. Bless you!
He's probably spotted a seagull, like, literally. 14 years old.
Oh, look, and he doesn't look a day over 2 months. He's as fresh-faced as you are, Darren.
Oh, go
very
on.
Similar vibe.
Oh, listen, you know.
The hair, the fresh face.
Spend so much time together, I'm sure we're going to morph even more. But anyway...
Okay, so we were in the car on the way back, and basically my other half's 10-year-old, all of the names that she liked were like muffin, pumpkin, chocolate cookie, like mocha. And I hate those names for cats, like I just find them too twee. Whereas Justin and I both like names like Roger or Derek or Sid, like old man names.
Sid.
And eventually it got to the stage where we were talking about Harry Potter, and there's a character in Harry Potter called Albus. That got us thinking, and Justin suddenly obviously thought of Aldous and then thought of Huxley, Aldous Huxley. And he suddenly said, as he was driving, Huxley, and the two of us, that we all agreed on it. It was basically the only name that we all agreed on.
I love it. Yeah, I like human names on animals.
Me
for,
too.
For that exact same reason, because I think it gives them more respect.
Like,
would
yes,
you,
so true.
Would you want to be called Muffin?
No.
You know? So I think it's like, it treats them with the respect they deserve. Now, a lot of people would say, and I don't know, I'm always, it's a bit of a contentious one, right? But I'm going to throw it out there. Like, I kind of say, well, you know, Harry is effectively my baby because I've no children. And for some people, their pets do substitute kids in their life. I mean, where do you stand on it? Because I know you've been in your book, How to Fail, and you've been very vocal about your desire to have kids.
Yeah. And it hasn't been an easy road for me. So it hasn't been straightforward. And I totally get it when people compare having pets to a degree of parenting. Like, obviously, it's not exactly the same. But the emotion that you feel and the attachment that you feel and the sense of responsibility you feel, I think, could be very good training for it. And one of the things that I always questioned about myself, because I'm now of an age where most of my friends have had their children, and I've witnessed a lot of parenting, and I've seen how amazing they are with their kids. And one of my fears, I suppose, has been that I wouldn't be a good enough mother, that I wouldn't have it in me. And actually, my best friend Emma came to stay, and it was shortly after we got Huxley, and she said, you'd be a great mother. She's like, and I can tell you why. She's like, I know that you know. She said, where's Huxley now? And I was like, oh, he's just there. And I couldn't see him, but I knew exactly where he was. He was like on a chair under the dining room table. And my friend Emma was like, you see, like, you have that radar, you care, and you understand exactly where he is. And there was something about that. I know it probably sounds a bit silly, but there was something about that that really made me reassured that I could do it if I wanted to. Like, if the biology all kind of worked, or if I explored different ways of being a mother, and if I were lucky enough to end up with my own child, I think I could do it. And I think Huxley has taught me that in a really moving way.
I think you'd be an amazing mother.
Oh,
and Huxley will attest to that.
So you'd be an amazing dad.
Well, thank you. Do you know, in that same vein, I oftentimes wonder, so I've had Harry 14 years almost. I got him when he was 6 weeks old. He was the size of a mouse. And I've always been very protective of him. And I sometimes wonder, oh my gosh, if and when I have children, am I going to be super protective over them? Like, overwhelmingly so. And then the other thing is, I went through a period where I was traveling so much at work that I didn't get to see Harry. Now, I knew he was safe. He was with my mom and dad. He was perfect. And I remember one night I woke up and had a dream. I'd woken up crying because I'd had this dream that something had happened to him. And I kind of thought, I'm not sure, like, I adore him. Like, I can only imagine with a child how that is multiplied. And I'm not sure I could cope.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, how you cope with the fact that your heart is just like an open pipe, just like gushing out emotion and love. I don't know, but I think maybe you need that kind of untrammeled love in order to do it. So maybe it's all part of a sort of brilliant design. Like, when you feel that strength of that love, it means that you can also be a really strong parent with a child.
Now, any pet owner will know how a pet, regardless of what it is, can really enrich your life. For you, what has been the single greatest gift that Huxley has brought into your home and into your world?
This makes it sound like I was sad before, which I wasn't, but I suppose he's made me feel less alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, working from home, everyone kind of now knows, it can be difficult. Like, you need to manage your own mental health quite carefully because you can feel quite isolated a lot of the time. Whereas having Huxley around means that I never am, because, you know, quite often I'll come through the door and he'll be waiting right there for me. And I get an enormous amount of entertainment from him. And we're like, we have a good time together. So I suppose
isn't that so sweet? We have a good time together. I love that. I love, love, love that. I mean, you clearly love Hux.
I do. He just really lifts my spirits sometimes, because he's just so, he can be really sort of silly at moments when I need that. I need to be like lifted out of the serious thing that I'm writing or whatever, and to have a sort of moment of joy and connection, albeit with a cat.
And you know, this is kind of an impossible question to prove, but do you think he loves you back?
I do think he does, okay, now I don't know whether I'm just kidding myself, but the reason I think that he does is because I do think that he treats me slightly differently from other people. It's probably primarily because I'm the one who feeds him, but he's very affectionate with me, and in the mornings he'll come up, and when I allow him into the room, I like jump up onto my side of the bed and sort of nestle into me and lick my hands and basically lick any part of exposed flesh that I have. And quite often he'll just like put his face really close to mine on the pillow and just lift out his paw and just place it on my cheek. Just rest his paw there. And I'm like, oh,
just connecting with you. I mean, obviously, okay, we're in times of strife globally. And I think as a race, we're really questioning everything. What yeah. we do, how we're doing it, why we're doing it, the purpose of life. What one lesson do you think humanity could learn from Huxley?
Sleep more.
Oh, I love that.
I'm a massive proponent of the art of sleeping. I think sleep is so important, especially right now, because it boosts your immune system. And Huxley is just, like many cats, just brilliant at sleeping. He just have naps throughout the day. He doesn't feel guilty about it. He knows that it's important for him to sort of function. He's coming.
Has he coming back in on cue? Hey, Hux. Listen, it's been such a joy chatting with you, Elizabeth. Just one last question.
Yes.
Obviously, responsible pet ownership is, you know, is what we all want. So if you are considering bringing another being into your world, what advice would you have for anyone considering adding a cat, a dog, a lizard, whatever it is, into their home?
Yeah. I would say it is such a beautiful gift, but really to think it through, because it's not an easy thing to begin with, especially not with dogs, because I know that puppies are like, you know, you really need to be looking after them 24/7. And I would just say that the first few days and weeks of transition, like expect it to be maybe a little bit stressful, and expect yourself to feel worried about your pet and how they're settling in and acclimatizing. But know that once you've got through those first few moments, it's amazing. And it will be a gift in ways that you could never possibly have imagined. So it's really basically just to be a bit patient at the beginning, because everyone's getting used to a new situation.
What a beautiful way with words, which is no surprise, because obviously if you haven't read it, How to Fail by Elizabeth Day is amazing. I read this by the beach in Tulum. Which seems which seems like a lifetime ago. And obviously the podcast How to Fail with Elizabeth Day is, I have to say, I love it. And also a confession, I think it was appropriate that I completely failed at recording this yesterday, first time round, because we did this whole interview and I got to the end of it and went, Elizabeth, it didn't record. So thank you so much for your patience. And
it's such a pleasure.
For being so gracious and giving me your time again. I really do appreciate it.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you, Darren. Thanks for all your support. And thank you, Harry.
And thank you, Huxley. And I will see you soon. Thank you so much. Have a gorgeous day.
Thank you so much for listening to The Secret Life of Celebrity Pets. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. If you enjoyed my chat with Elizabeth today, please leave us a positive review and 5 stars. Plus, if you have any questions you'd like to ask me, leave them in the review section and I'll do my very best to get back to you. Next week, I'll be joined by a very special guest, Trini Woodall, talking all about her furry pal, Lily, the Parsons Terrier. Until next Sunday, bye-bye.